Hello. Okay.
I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to live loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, with rage, fits of rage, and panic attacks and bouts of depression. Some of y'all know, some of you don't. Doesn't matter either way, whatever category you fall in there. But every Monday I write a blog on, I just love that word, blog. I write a blog on Facebook, and I also put it on the Pathway page on Facebook, and then I've actually created, John Seth Hunter created a blog on, I forget what it is, anyway, Wix, whatever that is. There you go. That's it. Created one there, and so it shows up there. But anyway, so every week I write a little something, and usually I write it, and then I talk about it the Sunday night afterwards. But this week I want to talk about what I just wrote today. We've struggled with this pandemic. We've struggled with the political climate. We've struggled with racism, national racism. We've struggled with just divisiveness in our culture. And so we've tried over the summer in our virtual pathway, we've tried to kind of talk a little bit about cultural recovery, political recovery, not in an attempt to persuade Republicans to become Democrats or Democrats to become Republicans, but just to somehow recover a culture where we can talk to each other in a civil, loving way, you know, without strife and accusations and hatred and yelling and name-calling and all this. And so over the course of our discussions and what I've written and what we've talked about in Zoom rooms and what Lewis and I talked about in Virtual Pathway several times this summer, some people have actually accused me and whatever of being like principle-less, that I no longer believe in any blacks or whites, that everything's just gray and mushy and everything. And so I've gotten to thinking about that, and I thought, no, I think in a healthy recovery community, there is one set and solid black and white that we all would, I hope, would fall on our swords for, and that is love. In the Old Testament, God was raising little kids. They were called the children of Israel, and they acted like little kids. And so he had to tell them, you're not allowed to play in the street. You're not allowed to drink Drano. You're not allowed, you know, to play with matches and gasoline. He gave them all kinds of rules and regs to keep them from hurting themselves because they were little kids and they didn't know any better. You know, pool rules. You know, if you can't swim, don't jump in the deep end. You don't run on whatever, you know, pool rules. And it wasn't to restrain them or lock them down. It was to protect them, to keep them from killing themselves and others. So in the Old Testament, there are lots of blacks and whites that are just set. But you get to the New Testament, especially the Gospels, and you start looking at Jesus, and he's like, no, we're not, that's not where we are anymore. You get to the New Testament, and you see a father who had raised his kids in the OT, that's Old Testament, OT, In the NT, in the New Testament, all of a sudden you see a father, especially the way Jesus treated people, you see a father with his adult children saying, now this is different. Like when Jake, our son, on the drums tonight, when Jake was a kid, we lived on Hollow Springs Road. There was a wreck, what, every 2 weeks on the curb down past us? People flew like 70 miles an hour on a 25 mile an hour road. So he was absolutely forbidden to go in the road. I don't care if your football goes across the road. You come get us, we'll go get it. Don't go in the road. Well, if he hadn't gotten in the road today, he wouldn't have come to see us. He's our adult child now. The rules that applied when he was a kid, it's like, no, you got to get on the road to come and see us. You're going to have to drive a car on the road to come and see us. And so in the New Testament, you have a God who's dealing with his adult children. The human race has grown up into adulthood, and he says, I used to call you servants, whatever, now I call you friends. And Jesus said to him, he said, when I leave, I'm going to leave my spirit with you, and he will live in you. And he called his spirit the paraclete. I know a lot of this is review. We've talked about it, but I'm going somewhere with this. He said, I'm going to leave my spirit, and he is the paraclete. He is going to be your basically one who comes alongside, who partners with you in life. That's the way parents of adult children do. I don't tell Jake what to do anymore. I say, what do you want to do? How can I help you do it? You want to talk about what you're doing? That's how parents relate to adult children. And so God is, in the New Testament, God is like, I want to walk with you in life. I don't want to be out in front of you, you know, badgering you about catching up, and I don't want to be behind you with a cattle prod or a whip or checking out your every move so I can call you on it. I want to walk with you through life as my adult children. That's what I want to do. So a lot of the blacks and whites that we had in the Old Testament are gone because we don't need them anymore. They're obsolete. We've grown up. We're adult. We know how to play in the road now. And we know the proper use of Drano. You know? So we've grown up. So are there any blacks and whites? Are there any non-negotiables? And when you look at Jesus, over and over, especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples, a new command I give to you. Love each other the way I've loved you. And if you want to know what that love looks like, if you're confused about the definition of love, he also defined that in the Gospel of John. He said, greater love has no man than to lay his life down for his brother. So the idea is, and that doesn't necessarily mean like physical death. It means when I'm with you, I want to invest myself in you. I want to listen to you. I want to empower you. I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. I'm laying down my agenda for you during this encounter. And he said that over and over. He said, this is my black and white. He said, if you're going to say you follow me, love each other. If you're going to say you're one of mine, love each other. And he said it over and over. And he didn't leave any wiggle room with it. That sounds black and white to me. Not a lot of nuance. You know, love everybody except if they're not nice to you. Love everybody unless they vote another way. Love everybody unless they have a different persuasion about this, that, or the other. He just simply said love each other. And he even did go so far as to say love your enemies. So he cut that one off in the past. Love your enemies. Now here's where it gets harsh, and I'm just going to kind of close with this, or let us chew on it, because it's harsh. Jesus was so gentle to people, especially those who were down out, and the least of these. He was so gentle, so kind, the woman caught in adultery, he gets down there with her, and he talks so kindly with her. The woman by the well, he sits there and he dialogues with her. He just checked his approach to people. He was so gentle with them. And then he had his other times when he got upset and turned over tables. And then there was another time when he had a bunch of people, a bunch of religious law keepers, black and whiters, around him. And he said, you know, there's going to come a day when there's going to be a separation of the sheep and the goats. He's got my attention. This gentle Jesus who got down in the dirt with a woman caught in adultery, this gentle Jesus who would have little snotty-nosed kids crawl up in his lap right in the middle of a sermon, you know? No, let them come. This is what the kingdom's all about. This same Jesus says there's going to be this separation. I'm like, oh my goodness. You just couldn't leave black and white alone, could you? But what did he pick as the issues? That's what's interesting. Because people talk a lot today, no, we've got to believe in heaven and hell. We've got to believe that certain people go to heaven and certain people go to hell. And I want to ask, okay, on what basis do they go this place or that? Well, they break the rules. That's the deciding factor. They break the rules. That's what decides it. But when Jesus talked about sheep and goats, when he talked about the separation, there was no mention of rules. Not a single one. Do you believe this doctrine? Do you believe that doctrine? Do you believe this passage? Do you believe that? None of that was mentioned. There's nothing said about lifestyle. There was nothing said about behavior, anything like that. Instead, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was alone, you came to see me. When I was down, you encouraged me. You just keep, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so they started asking him. This is the part that just floors me. They started asking him, when did we do that? The sheep who were in the crowd didn't know they were sheep. And the goats who were in the crowd didn't know they were goats. They didn't know. They were like, we're confused. What are you talking about? He said, when you did it to the least of these, when you did it to the people who couldn't help themselves, when you did it to the people who had empty pockets and empty bellies and no friends on Facebook, you know, when you did it to those people, you did it to me. And all of a sudden, the sheep realized, I didn't know that that made me righteous or in good standing. I didn't know that made me a sheep. I just fed people who were hungry. And I just clothed people who were naked. It just seemed like the right thing to do, so I did it. It came out of nowhere. You see, righteous and didn't even know it. Righteous and not even working on it. Righteous and not even on their agenda. I've got to be a good person so I go to heaven someday. I got to be a good person so I can help the bad people. Didn't even know they were being righteous. They just loved out of the root of their heart, out of the depths of their heart, because that's what came natural. Just simple acts of generosity. And the goats were like, but we kept all the rules. We kept all the rules. Jesus had a lot to say, and I'm not trying to bash rule keepers. I'm trying to give the truth as I see Jesus shared it. And if you disagree, you can tell me and we'll talk about it. But this is the truth as I understand that Jesus shared it. Because where he talked about the sheep and the goats, and he revealed these are the sheep, these are the people I'm interested, he's interested in all of us, but these are the people I'm talking about that feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all this. But he had so much to say on the other side, down through his ministry, about the people who were so proud and about being squeaky clean and toeing the line religiously. He told the story about a bunch of guys going to a Bible study, rule keepers, going to a Bible study down the Jericho Road. This guy just got beat up. I ain't got time for that. I got to go keep my rules and learn how to be more righteous. And this no-name half-breed Samaritan comes along and helps him. And he told another story about a son who went completely off the rails. And he's gone forever, and he's coming back home, and dad throws him a party, and son who had kept all the rules throws a fit. He gets mad. He told another story about a rule keeper standing on the street corner with a big placard praying out loud, I am righteous, I am righteous, and I'm so glad I'm not like that guy over there. Just really gloating more than praying. And Jesus, it was a sheep and a goat moment in his teaching. Like, who's the sheep here and who's the goat? The point of what I'm trying to say tonight is I don't think we need to go out the doors and say, boy, I want to try really hard to be a sheep. I sure don't want to be a goat. Remember, the sheep didn't know they were sheep. So to try to be a sheep might be a little hypocritical. Are you catching that? It might be a little fakey to try to be a sheep. But I think what I want to do is in terms of Jesus, okay, here's truth. This is pathway, so we could be honest. In terms of Jesus' definition of sheep and goats, I spent most of my life as a goat. Straight up, just saying. I was too busy being righteous to care about the hungry or the naked or the lonely. I was too busy keeping my own nose clean. And I don't think I was, I didn't have hate in my heart. I didn't have, maybe it was a little selfish because I was caring about my own righteousness. But I wasn't out to hurt anybody, and I don't know how to say it. I didn't mean anything by it. You know, I didn't mean anything by it, but I got in recovery and I realized how much God loves me. And that had to go somewhere. It just got too full. You know what I'm saying? It just got too full and it had to go somewhere. And so now in the morning, not because I've worked at it, just simply God has filled my heart so full of love. Now in the morning, the last thing on my mind is, how am I going to toe the line today? How am I going to keep my nose clean today? That's the last thing on my mind. The first thing on my mind is, Jesus, send me somebody to love today. Could there be somebody out there who I could just listen to? Maybe not fix them, maybe not guide them, maybe not do anything. Just sit and listen to them. Is there somebody, like my wife is so good at this, Robbie is, if there's somebody hungry, she will feed you. She will feed you good stuff. You know, is there somebody naked, you know, that doesn't lacks clothing? I look at Harold and I think, he'll take care of you. Down at hotel, we've got people here who get this. And I mean, I've lived with my wife for 32 years. It's not a calculation with her. She don't wake up and think, I want to be a sheep today. She just, you know, well, it took me a while, but I caught on. And I'm still catching on. So I guess tonight is not the old religious way we used to do things. It would have been, boy, that's heavy. I don't want to be a goat. I want to be a sheep. That's not what this is about. Not at all. I think what it is what is our focus in life? Is our focus in life making sure we go to heaven and don't go to hell? Is that it? Or is it, are you hungry? Can I give you some food? Are you lonely? Can I listen to your story? I just think it's a matter of focus, and I think that's where we make our choices, right there. If anything's up to me, it's what am I going to focus on? What am I going to think about throughout the day? I guess that's what it comes down to, focus. Not trying to be a sheep, but just focus on the person in front of me. I know we've said this over and over, and I'll just close with this tonight. I know we've said it over and over, but every encounter that we have with another human being is a sacred moment. Every encounter with little bitty children, with very, very old people, with rich people, with poor people, with sane people and insane people, with Republicans and with Democrats, with white people and black people and brown people and yellow people, and just, are you a human being? Are you a human being? This encounter with you right now is sacred. The only qualification we need is, are you a human being? And you know what? If you ask Harold and some of us around here, you can even have sacred moments with your puppies. Do I get an amen? We got dogs and cats. We can have those moments where, yeah, but especially with humans, we can have those sacred moments and those encounters. So Matt's going to come up and lead us in the serenity prayer in just a minute. But before we, I know the pandemic has caused me to start praying in public again. I don't know what the deal is. But let's just talk to Jesus. Jesus, you keep us on our toes. Because you have so many fascinating and beautiful sides to you. The side that holds little kids and just listens to them and let them slobber on you and you know, just be kids, pull your beard and whatever. And then you have another side to you that says, I can't leave this alone. We've got to talk about this. And we're so glad that you talked about the things that are hard to hear and the things that are challenging and the things that stretch us. And this sheep and goat thing stretches me. And that's why I wanted to share it. And I've stumbled through it. Didn't say it as well as you said it back when you said it. But maybe this week you can ride with us in our vehicles and walk with us down the hall and be with us when we wash our dishes and take out the garbage, whatever we're doing. And you can help us to know how what you said applies to us and what we need to hear out of this and your truth will set us free because you said it would. And we know you're with us, so we're counting on that.